Hey, out there, sports world. This is the Dynamite Sports Podcast. We are Tyler, Noah, and Trey, and I am Dad. And we have some information for you on what's going on in the world of sports. How you guys doing?
I'm doing great.
All right. Thumbs up. So, one thing that we want to talk about this week, pitchers and catchers have reported, it is time for baseball season. We've been talking a lot about football with the Super Bowl, but now it is time to turn the page for the boys of summer to arrive, and our local team, the Rays, are back in spring training down in Fort Myers, down in your neighborhood there, Tyler. And so, the Rays, of course, always are retooling, always rebuilding. And so, guys, they've got some changes this year, and I want to be able to talk about some of those. They've got some newcomers that are coming in, and so, guys, to start things off, let's talk about some of these newcomers and who has you excited, Trey, about the Rays this summer.
I think that Jonathan Aranda excites me the most. He looked really, really good in the minor leagues. He had Is that 121 hits in AAA in 2023? So, yeah, he was good.
All right. Let's flip it over to Noah. Noah, who's got you excited for the Rays this spring?
There's a guy named, I can't even say his name. That's how great this guy is. He is from Japan.
You can't say his name, so that makes him great?
Uh-huh. He's from Japan. Wow. His name is...
That's crazy.
Nah. His name is Naoyuki, I believe. I'm sorry that I messed that up. And this guy was the reliever for the Japanese team against the U.S.
His first name is Naoyuki. His last name is Uwasawa.
Yeah. And this guy relieved right before Mike Trout came up to bat. He was a very good reliever. He's got a lot of movement on every pitch that he throws. So I think he's going to be a great addition to the relieving standards of the Rays.
Tyler, what you got?
I really like Jesus Caballero. That trade from the Mariners seems like a steal to me. I also really like Chris Devensky, who they re-signed. And I really like Richie Palacios from the Cardinals. That guy brings a powerful bat to the lineup.
All right. Another name that Rays fans will probably get to know is Ryan Piccio. He came from the Dodgers in that Glasnow trade. And with some of our pitchers out for the start of the year, we're going to start the year without McClanahan. We're going to start the year without Springs. Those guys might be able to come along later, but PPO is going to become a major player in that rotation as well. Of course, the Rays, we've all gotten used to it now. I remember the first time we really felt it was when Evan Longoria was traded away. But the Rays are always seemingly retooling, getting rid of players that we become really close to, and finding ways to survive. Tyler Glass now moves on to the Dodgers. Vidal Brujan showed some promise, but he's now a Marlin. Manuel Margot went to the Dodgers as part of that Glass now trade. We lost Andrew Kittredge. We also lost Luke Rayleigh to the Mariners. So a lot of guys that we move on from, but it seems like the Rays always make that decision at the right time. How do you guys feel about the guys that move on from the Rays in general?
I mean, I kind of feel sad that we've lost Snell. I have a feeling we might get him back, but it's a good feeling because I always know that there's going to be something good that comes out of it.
I feel like most of the time we get it right, but like times that we didn't get it right was like Ben Zobrist. Blake Snell was still really good. I'm trying to think of another one. Let's see. Evan Longoria's coming back, definitely.
He's coming back?
I think so.
He had a better year last year.
Say that again, Ty.
He's like 34 or 35.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't have a bad year last year. He had a few bad years.
He's been relatively consistent, but he hasn't lived up to that rookie of the year promise.
Yeah, I know. I think it would be poetry if he came back. Anyways, let's move on.
All right. So also, as we are recording this, there are some big name free agents that are still hanging out there. And so it's kind of interesting that we've already started spring training and there's still some big guys, some big pieces that'll land somewhere, but they'll have to land for the right price. Noah, did you have an update, a breaking news story?
Yeah, I did have it. Cody Bellinger got signed back to the Chicago Cubs. So he's back home. He'll have some fun there again. They've got a future. I'll say that. They've got a lot of future there, and he'll be a good veteran presence to put there.
Another unsigned player out there is former Ray Blake Snell. Snell, of course, had a great run in the 2020 World Series with the Rays, then moved on to the Padres, and right now he's without a home. And so I don't know if anybody's got any prospects on where he's going to land, but he's going to be another piece that will get picked up along the way that would be very interesting to see how he helps the team.
Another Ray that hasn't been signed yet is Mike Zunino.
Power-hitting catcher?
Yeah, he was good. Let's see. Oh, G-Man Choi signed with the Mets. I didn't know that. Good for him.
G-Man Choi was in and out of the minor leagues last year, Trey. Like, he got hurt, and then he did not come back to the MLB.
But I think my most, like, prominent one, that it's Joey Votto.
Mm.
He was still a very good first baseman into his, like, 30s now. Mm-hmm. He's playing like the rest of his team was, the very young Reds. So, yeah, I think he's the best one right now. Besides, Blake Snell.
It's still interesting to me, though, that after Shohei got signed, still there's barely been any moves. It's been a couple of trades, especially small ones, and, like, nothing happening in free agency.
Baseball free agency is actually pretty boring most of the time.
It's been really silent.
It's always hyped up by, like, SportsCenter. It's like, MLB free agency. That's,
yeah, no, the MLB offseason is pretty boring. The MLB trade line is, like, way more exciting. So.
Yeah.
Well, and a lot of money was shelled out very early, and then there's not a lot of money left to spread around to these guys that are left. So these guys, you know, the Snells and the Bellingers are expecting big paydays, but there's not going to be a big payday. They're going to have to come at a discount at this point because everybody's already allocated a lot of money to the players that they've signed early on in free agency. Another big news story in the MLB this winter is the new uniforms that are out there that are provided. Tyler's already shaking his head. There have been some screenshots and screen caps that have already gone out, and they are quite revealing.
I want to watch baseball. I want to watch some new because I don't want to see your underwear. That's just weird.
Well, I hope these guys have underwear on, because if not, you're going to be seeing everything.
Yeah, you guys know how if you leave a TV on too long on a certain channel, the logo kind of gets burned into the corner. You see that a lot with older people in Fox News. Unfortunately, that has happened to the surface of my brain with some of these pictures. It's really a backwards move here for MLB. Some of these jerseys look like the ones I own that are super cheap for the NFL. It's just all around not a great look.
They took Kupchak way too far.
Well, and I mean, that's one thing is that I was listening to another podcast with David Sampson, and he was talking about how very few players actually wear cups anymore. They find it very inhibitive to their movement. And so that's another layer that's not there to protect their parts from being seen, shall we say.
Yeah, and we've also seen an uptick in injuries recently because of that. So definitely still a useful thing to wear, guys.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they'll be able to do, but I really hope that everybody at least wears underwear during the baseball season. But it looked just tacky, even if it wasn't, you know, if it wasn't full on nudity. It's, you know, you got the jersey tucked into the pants, and you can see the shirt tails through the pants, like whiter than the rest of the pants. It just looks so cheap. And I mean, they've already purchased these uniforms. They already have spent the money, so I don't know how they can go backwards from it. But I hope something can be done to rectify it.
And even then, some of the players with longer last names, they're not left with enough space on the jersey because the font is so large.
Jazz so Chisholm, you end up
with an actual rainbow of a name.
Oh no, we're not talking about Chisholm. We're talking about some long last names.
Randy Arozarena.
Arozarena is going to be a rainbow.
It was a minor league player who went up to the MLB for the Reds. I can't remember his last name, but he had like the longest name in MLB history. I forgot his name though. It was that long.
I did see a screen cap of somebody with a hyphenated last name, and both of the names were pretty long. Yeah. It almost looked like a complete circle around the number on his back.
It's gonna be really funny when you put G-Man Choi's name, G-Man Choi, and there's dashes in between it.
Christian Encarnacion,
yeah,
that is going to like go down to his hips.
No, they don't put the full player's name on the back of the jersey.
I mean, they
G-Man
put
is his first name.
Oh wait, hold Choi. On. I wasn't kidding. I was it's not kidding. Choi. It actually goes down to his hips.
Yeah.
We're gonna.
Yeah, names like Jared Saltalamacchia and Echeverria.
Hatcheverria. Oh, that's a good memory. That guy was a good shortstop for the Rays.
All right. So, changing topics, there's been a lot of action in basketball. Of course, basketball season is picking up. We're getting close to March and March Madness, but also some great things in the NBA. As we are recording this, we are watching the USF Bulls take on SMU, and USF is just a team that's kind of come out of nowhere. We've been quite enamored by Kason Pryor, who is a 6'10 forward for the Bulls and is just kind of everywhere. He kind of reminds me of Joakim Noah for the Gators back in the early 2000s, the way he plays the floor, the way he gets on the ground and dives for loose balls. USF is definitely going to be a tournament team as they are leading SMU right here with 2 minutes to go. Guys, how do you feel about the Bulls and the move that they've made this year, going from basically being an unknown in the NCAA to being a team that's going to be tournament bound?
Who did I say that guy looks like, Dad? The comedian. Oh, my gosh. He looks like...
Pete Davidson?
Yeah, Pete Davidson. Oh, my gosh.
We're talking about Kayshawn Pryor, yeah.
Kayshawn Pryor looks identical to Pete Davidson. Like,
except he's 6'10".
It's kind of a big difference there.
Yeah, but, like, the face, like...
Noah is speechless.
Well, luckily for you guys, that USF team has been pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah.
I can't say the same down here.
Talk to us about those Eagles there down there at Florida Gulf Coast, Tyler.
Well, yesterday we had a doubleheader. The women's team played in the late afternoon, and the men's team played later in the day at 7 o'clock. And the women's team played Stetson University, who was on a four-game win streak. They were 10-3 in the conference going into that game. They were the second best team in the conference in terms of record. And the women's team beat them pretty heartily. They gave them a 68-52 finish there. But the women's team is now 14-0 in the conference. They improved to 17 in a row on the season. Looking for a strong finish here. They play North Florida 9-19 to finish February. And then they play 10-17 Jacksonville to finish out their season, in terms of regular season at least. And with that win, they actually do clinch the regular season title for the A-Sun once again, making it 7 or 8 years in a row. The men's team, of course, also had a pretty impressive victory over the University of Queens from North Carolina. They win 90-81. They had some good shooting down the stretch. Zach Anderson just about took over the game. He ended with 26. There was a run where he had 12 points in a row and Queens had zero.
Wow.
In the beginning of the second half. That team is also looking to get their revenge against North Florida on Wednesday. And then they finish their season against 14-14 Jacksonville on Friday, March 1st.
I think that this USF Bulls team has the biggest height difference in college basketball history with their guard named Jaden Reed, 5'10". And then the formerly mentioned Kayshawn Pryor is 6'10". So
a full foot.
Yeah, full foot. And they also have their forward, Gerald Jones, is also 6'10". And their center is 7 foot. So, yeah, two of their players have a 13-inch difference in height. That is insane.
Interestingly, Florida Gulf Coast does not have a 7-footer on the roster that I know of. Their starting center is 6'8", and he actually leads NCAA in field goal percentage. I think I've seen him miss about four times in the last two games. He's just incredible. Keyshawn Kelman, shout out. And then they also gave some meaningful minutes to Dakota Rivers last night. He's also 6'9", and he could jump out of the roof of the building if he really wanted to. He caught about three lobs. The ball was over the backboard, and I'm pretty sure he grabbed it off of the shot clock.
Jesus.
I'm only half kidding. The ball was it was at the top corner of the square on the backboard, and he still managed to grab it. Every time they throw him a lob, you think it's too high. It's perfect. And so he also finishes with like two or three blocks. Zach Anderson finishes nearly a triple-double. And that win may be the turning point for this season.
Too high is not in his vocabulary.
Right. He's got to have a 50-inch vertical.
South Florida right now, they're into the fouls. They're looking to head into their next game. 14-1 in the conference.
That's kind of insane.
Yeah. It was funny.
What conference are they in? The American?
Yeah, American. We were looking at cheerleading before this game, and South Florida was the 3-time in a row national champions for cheerleading.
For cheerleading?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the lead into USF basketball, was the national championships of cheerleading. So we got to learn a little bit about that. Unfortunately for Bulls fans, the national champion for 2024 is UCF, which is probably the worst thing that could happen to USF to break up their 3-year run of national titles. But people are very excited about what's going on at USF. The last two Sunday home games have been sellouts. Today is another sellout for them. And so there's a lot of excitement around the Bulls, and I think there will be a lot of excitement down there in Fort Myers around that women's team down there at Florida Gulf Coast, and excitement for Tyler too, as he's a part of the Eagle basketball band. He'll get to travel with those girls as they they move through the tournament.
We're getting ready for it. They're currently slated as a 12 seed, which means they're in the Baton Rouge travel section. So we would be headed to Baton Rouge to start our March, it's the middle of March.
Very exciting. There's also some excitement in basketball in the NBA in the state of Florida. The Heat, of course, have been a team in the headlines for several years. The Orlando Magic have been an afterthought for the last several years. But the Magic are making some moves. They are currently the 6th seed in the Eastern Conference. And they had a remarkable ending last night against the Pistons. Paolo Banchero with a walk-off three-pointer. That was a very high degree of difficulty. And so the Magic are playing some really strong basketball right now for being a team that was a bottom feeder last year. And also the Miami Heat are in the top 8 after kind of faltering at the beginning of the year and some folks writing them off. The Heat are now starting to make a move in the Eastern Conference as well. So, guys, how do you feel about the NBA and the state of our teams in Florida in the NBA?
That duo of Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero, something to watch, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, they also throw in Wendell Carter Jr., who they got from the Bulls in the Vucevic trade. That team's going to be special for a couple years here.
If there has been anything that is in your face, that Paolo Banchero shot was in his face. Like, there is nothing closer than that. I can't explain it.
I mean, I think that's one of the best first picks that I've seen in a little while. Just right off the bat is great. Other than Victor Wembanyama, who I personally think is going to get a Defensive Player of the Year this year, he's kind of killing it.
Yeah, Banchero was a great pick for the Magic. The Magic are making the move behind him. And then the Heat have started to turn around, and they really got a charge earlier this week from a little Donnybrook they had against the Pelicans and Zion Williamson. Tyler, were you able to catch any of that fight video?
Oh, absolutely, I did.
Give us your thoughts.
Zion Williamson, flopper. What the heck was that? That was disgusting. Looked like a beached whale. I think that Jimmy Butler, actually, I don't think he did anything wrong. I think it was Nazir Muhammad for the New Orleans Pelicans started to get in Kevin Love's face, and Jimmy Butler just stepped between him. And Jimmy Butler ends up getting ejected along with that player and Jose Alvarado, the teeny-weeny backup point guard for the Pelicans who just sits on the bench and acts like he's tough and wants to fight people. He literally had to jump off of the score table in order to reach somebody. Rumor has it he entered upper orbit and will never be seen again. Jimmy had 23 points with 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter and gets ejected. And they still end up winning by 11. Bam Adebayo was absolutely elite in that fourth quarter. Duncan Robinson has become something of a star himself.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Tyler Herro left with a knee injury. He started to turn it around after some rough games without Jimmy Butler. That team absolutely is slated to make another deep run somehow, some way. I think, unfortunately, the Pelicans woke up playoff Jimmy.
So it might be over for the East. And it's also, I think something that's interesting is that Duncan Robinson, nobody really thinks of him when they think of good young three-point shooters, but he was one of the fastest players to 700 three-pointers. That was a stat that I saw via the Miami Heat on Instagram. He's a killer, and I especially in the playoffs. You can put him in the corner at any time, and he'll hit it.
Fun fact, he's actually 29 years old.
Wow.
He's just got a baby face.
Yeah.
It's just peach fuzz. That's all it is.
Few things. One, USF just won their 13th straight win, a program history, or a program record. And, well, I have a lot of comments on the Heat game. First off, that was a terrible foul. Like, he just, like, hugged him. He didn't even, like, slam him. Zion just, like, fell.
Yeah, I saw Eric Spoelstra said there's no way that Kevin Love could have possibly thrown Zion like that. It was definitely a flop.
Yeah, and then second off...
Kevin Love's kind of an old man.
Kevin Love's, like, 42.
Second off, Jimmy Butler got choked and got ejected. Can we just talk about that for a second? He was
true.
He had a hand at his... Someone had put his hand at his throat, and he's just like, oh, get out of here.
Wait, excuse me? Does it mean that Rudy Gobert should have gotten ejected when Draymond choked him?
Rudy Gobert should get ejected forever. Let's be real.
Rudy Gobert shut down the world, though.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert belongs in a jail.
Send him back to France.
Exactly.
So exciting times within the NBA, and we're going to get to experience some of that. We're going to take a road trip. The Dynamite Sports Podcast will hit the road next weekend. We're going to Miami to watch the Heat take on the Jazz, so we're going to gather some content while we're there, and it's going to be a good time, and it is exciting that the Heat, who looked like they were kind of maybe this is going to be the last ride for Heat culture and Jimmy and Spoelstra, that it looks like they're just revving up for another run here, and so we're excited to be able to partake in some of that.
I think it's really funny how everybody like doubts Florida sports teams every year, and then they're just like really really good for absolutely no reason.
Florida
made it to the playoffs.
We do sports better.
Florida was one of the only states to have every single team with a plus 500 in their past season.
Yeah, the Rays,
Lightning, Panthers.
Yep,
the Rays were one of the best teams in Marlins. April, but then they just yeah, the Dolphins
the going on?
Maybe not so much. Let's see, what's another one?
The Bucks got their 9-8 when Cam Jordan wrote them off at the very beginning of the season.
Yeah,
3-14. That went out
in the famous words of Geno Smith, they wrote me off, I didn't write back.
Yes, Florida runs the world. So we will be back with you next week, and we will talk to you about our experience down there in Miami. We'll be bringing you some information on baseball and on basketball as we get into March Madness and spring training. So lots to talk about, lots that's very exciting. And so we will hit you with our outro from way downtown.